I want to welcome everyone back to another episode of the Libby DeLucian podcast. And I'm actually really excited for today's guest and today's topic. And I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we can jump right in.
Thank you so much, Libby, for having me. I'm really excited to be here, and I can't wait to learn more about you as well and your listeners throughout, you know, this episode today. So I'm Caitlin. I'm the owner of Meraki Media Management. We specialize in social media management and marketing services through my agency. We've been doing this for about 7, almost 8 years, if you include my early days of PR marketing when I was still in college. We tend to help our clients really portray and build their brands online, specifically in the luxury space. And I know a lot of your listeners are in the service-based industry and they offer home care services. So I'd love to chat more about that today. And thanks so much again for having me on.
I think this is a great topic, especially in the home service space, because we're a discretionary expense. Like, people don't have to pay to have their lawn cut or their home professionally organized or clean, or like having a new deck built. It's discretionary. And I think that we're selling an experience, like we're selling a lifestyle. And so that's why I was really attracted to the luxury social media side. And like, I would love to learn more about, because Caitlin also offers coaching and consulting on this topic as well, not just through her agency, but through coaching. And I want to learn more, because if you were to look at my social media page for my home service, we talk about mindset and lifestyle. We don't talk about cleaning or organizing.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's like, how do we shift the way we think? Because when we see home service or even restaurants, right, we're like, yeah, pictures of their food are great, but like, what are you selling me? You're selling me an experience, a feeling. And I think we all have this inner bougie, at least I know I do. And I'm like, I want an experience.
Yeah. I completely agree. I'm honestly the same way. My inner bougie definitely shows. And it's such an honor to work with, you know, the luxury brands that I am able to work with now. And honestly, that has been a long time coming, you know, in my business and growing to understand these luxury markets. In my early days of business, I'm not sure that I could serve them the best that I can now, you know, just learning more about entrepreneurship myself. And like you said, how we're actually selling a feeling, right, through marketing. It's very rare that our clients hire us for the actual service. It's normally, what are they getting after? You know, how do they feel when they come home and the house is fully cleaned? Or who are they entertaining on their deck, you know, after that's built? And what is that community lifestyle, but also this really exciting way of living their lives, maybe an ideal life that they hadn't thought that they would be able to obtain before until hiring someone like us? And that's exactly how I help my clients basically extend that emotion online. So when we're creating a reel or when we're developing any type of content, my whole goal is to think to myself as a consumer, how would I feel watching this? Like, would this give me a taste inside the luxury lifestyle? For example, I work with Rolls-Royce and Bentley dealerships. So a lot of our followers probably don't own those vehicles, but it's something that they really want to eventually own. And I love being able to give them that emotion through the screen and help them manifest this next lifestyle. And I think that that's how social media and Meraki in this particular helps our clients build these communities, because we're extending that touch point to potential followers who eventually do end up opting into the content. And then every day we're warming them by engaging them into this next lifestyle, this next phase of their higher self, is a lot of what I call it on my show.
Oh, I like that. Your higher self.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's maybe not something we can obtain yet, but we know we can get there eventually, you know?
Yes. I love that. You know, an example is right now I'm being spammed because, oh gosh, social media knows me. You're going to laugh at me. I told my husband, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're following me. I was looking at a pair of sneakers and they're called Sneaks, and there are like $500 for a pair of shoes. And I told my husband, I said, oh, like, cause I have kids and like, you know, they have nicer shoes than me kind of thing. We're in that stage, you know? And I've always been a really simple person, but as I've gotten older and like learned, you know, that like I call it my inner bougie self, my inner bouginess, but maybe my higher self. I told my husband yesterday, I said, I'm going to end up buying these stupid shoes.
Love it.
Because of the spamming, like the reels, the pictures, like it's like, oh, I want that. Oh God, it looks so cute. Oh, it will go with everything. I said, I'm gonna end up buying these dumb shoes. And then everywhere I turn around, they're hitting me with another ad. And I'm like, man, their marketing is really good. It's like, I want to try them on first. And then I'm like, you know what? I don't care because I want that. I want that feeling or experience that they're portraying online.
Right. Right. It's like you've been, you know, touched, and it's like, it's really pulling on your heartstrings almost as well. Right. Where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm dreaming about these sneakers.
I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're like tennis shoe high heels.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to look them up. You said sneaks. I'm going to write it down.
It's S-N-E-E-X. The owner of Spanx created them. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head. But they're just like, that is the ideal marketing. And this is on a small scale. Like, this is not a Bentley, but this is a $500 pair of high heel tennis shoes. Who would have thought? You know, you're literally buying the experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, mm-hmm. you want that feeling, right? That they're like portraying through these reels. And honestly, what was really the kicker for me was when I went to visit my dealerships for the first time and I got to experience firsthand, you know, our clients, and we went to an event. It was called Rolls and Roundtop outside of Houston, and it was beautiful. And I really got to feel the emotion of like what these clients experience. We rode in a Bentley. I sat in a Rolls Royce. Like, I really got to understand why these vehicles are so sought after. And that's kind of like the sneaks too, right? It's like, that's what I want. I envision myself, my higher self in those sneakers, in that car. And I know that if I'm even just driving, you know, to the grocery store that day in my sneaks high heels, I'm going to feel way better than I would be like in my crappy, you know, sneakers, like speaking for myself. So that's exactly what I try to convey online, like especially after experiencing it firsthand.
So I have a question for all our listeners out there. It might seem easier to do this like luxury feeling, right? This experience. To recreate that, let's just say, let's use the tennis shoes or the Bentley, because it's a Bentley, like, you know, you can visually see a person in a car or with the sneakers on. But how would you recommend somebody doing this for a service? So what are some of the things that we can do or kind of walk through if I'm a service and I don't have a tangible thing, how can I portray that feeling or experience through my social media?
Yeah, this is where observing your clients and receiving like what their feedback is really helpful early on. Like, for example, I have an amazing housekeeper here. Shout out Sandra. She'll be here tomorrow. Bless her heart. Like, I invest in those services because then I'm able to work on my business. And I'm sure that's some of what you share inside your mindset content as well on your page. It's like, this gives me a sense of freedom, right? So I'm able to go and visit my mom while the house is being cleaned and I didn't have to spend 3 hours doing it, and I can trust someone to do it well. So then what are we actually selling, right? Like I always say at Meraki, I'm selling my clients time because they don't have to worry about their social media. A lot of us in the service-based company and side of things is we are selling time. We're selling freedom. So that's that emotion that we want to convey online. So I always think about like a door opening and that sigh of relief when I like walk into my bedroom and everything's put away and, you know, the chaos has settled down. We're heading into the weekend. I'm entertaining and I didn't have to spend those 5 to 6 hours getting ready, you know, myself. Same thing with the deck, right? It's like, what is that? Is it a new grill on top of the deck that I'm getting to cook out for you know, some of my nieces and nephews, and I get to have them over and they're having the best time in the backyard. Holidays are a great way to optimize off of that because people are entertaining around the holidays. But every day, what is that emotion? Like, what are you selling? And then thinking about that visionary into a reel. So that's what I always go back to. If any of our listeners are struggling with, like, what am I actually selling at the core? I'm selling that feeling of freedom, sigh of relief, you know, maybe even sense of safety, right? When it comes to things like decking or even like cleaning, right? And organization. Hey, I feel safe when I walk into my closet. It's not chaos every morning and I'm stressed out, you know, getting ready for the day. So that's what helps me. And then I just start to encompass that into a reel and think about different types of videos that I could even create. Even when you're recording at a client's house, of course, you have to ask for their consent. You know, if you're able to share that online and you can have them sign a formal form, but it is your content, right? So you can add words over top, add trending audios, hashtags, location hashtags are great to kind of touch point all your different locations that you serve. And then of course, posting that. So that's how I like to think about it in the, you know, emotional side of marketing.
I think I love that. And I think, you know, especially in the service industry, one of the reasons we struggle with that is because we wouldn't pay for that service ourselves. Like, we aren't our own customer.
Yeah.
And so we don't know that feeling. And one of the best things I ever did in my life was let my own cleaning company clean my house.
Yeah.
And then now, like, when I walk in, I'm like, oh my God, please, kids, don't touch anything. Like, right. Leave it like this. And I think we struggle because, like I said, we're not typically our own customer. And so we don't understand the feeling or the sense of relief. But, you know, really diving into our customers and feedback is important. And I want to go to, you said something about hashtags.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about hashtags, I'll be honest. My 27-year-old, he runs our social media organic marketing. And yeah, he's been doing it for years. He is good. He's good at it. He enjoys it. And he uses hashtags. But I would like for, like, can you educate our hashtags? Because you hear it. Oh, they don't matter. They're not important anymore. What if you're like a local business versus a Nash, like the softwares? We can service anybody, but home service or service, sometimes you're very location specific. So are hashtags really important?
Yeah, it's such a good question. You'll hear it all the time. Like you said, other, you know, agency managers will say, hashtags are horrible. Don't do them. In my mind, right? Like, we've actually A/B tested this. And one of the things that hashtags can do is what you can't fit into your caption, or maybe a topic or location that, like, just doesn't go with the caption that day. So the reason why people say hashtags are out is because AI is in, right? AI is scanning all of the content. They're figuring out who you're trying to touch. Well, the hashtags actually support the AI. You know, support those topics that you aren't sharing inside the caption. So we always use 30 hashtags on all of our clients' posts on Instagram. That's the max amount of hashtags you can use per post. And it does really work, especially when you are this location-based, you know, type of service client that needs to touch different locations, because honestly, that's probably not being fit into the caption. If it is, fantastic, but maybe you're also touching a different hashtag, right? In those areas, like, for example, I work with a gelato shop. Tomorrow, I'm heading over to do a photo shoot for them. And we always include PA eats, you know, like PA travel, because a lot of people actually travel to this location in this town. And when they're searching those hashtags or searching that on Google, in fact, it's actually pulling some of those posts from Instagram as well, because all of these platforms have connected on the back end. So basically, hashtags just support those topics for Google searches, you know, like I said, even sometimes on LinkedIn searches, Facebook, and Instagram. So that's why
we do hashtags. So, man, okay. I never thought about the hashtags helping the AI scrape, right?
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense. And then when I'm searching on Google, let's just do an example. Do I actually have to search the exact hashtag, or can I just search PA Eats? Is it going to pull it from a variation of common words, or is it got to be the hashtag itself with PAE?
That's a great question. You can test this, right? In my experience, the PAE just works because it's kind of picking up that it's a topic with the SEO side of your Instagram account. And that's something, again, you could A/B test. And if you don't utilize SEO or Google, that may be something that you want to look into, because it would, of course, help your reach. And a lot of service-based businesses will benefit, you know, from optimizing their Google pages. Actually, my local networking group, because I am not a Google educator, but I can share, you know, what I know about it on the higher level. They even have like different questions, Q&A, that you can add to your Google page, which you should definitely take advantage of. You can do like 2 a day, and that will help your reach. And you can also say like, where do you service, right?
Yeah.
And then list all those locations. So those types of things are helpful to reinforce the Instagram post of the hashtag. You know, again, in my experience, that's what we've seen, but it should just automatically pull as well. And if it doesn't now, it should in the next few months as they continue to tweak this AI.
Yeah. So as far as Instagram, you use about 30. Do you have any recommendations for like Facebook or LinkedIn?
Yeah. Around Facebook, normally like 5 to 10 is good. Some people don't want any, you know, over there at all. If we do like a specific post, I'll say like hashtag Super Spec Saturday, right? Or a specific like Feature Friday, we'll do a hashtag for that. Sometimes I'll add like 2 or 3 extra, again, depending on the client. If they don't use Instagram, I will use hashtags over on Facebook because their SEO is probably being pulled from Facebook. If they use Instagram, little to none works for Facebook. And then, of course, you can utilize Facebook to share inside of local Facebook community groups, which is another really great way to meet and touch ideal clients. And you just want to make sure.
Inside a Facebook group.
Yeah. So when you search a Facebook group, they'll have like entry questions. Some will say no promotions. So probably not our page to be, you know? And then some say promotions are necessary. Now, if there isn't a promotion available, I highly recommend as a business owner, create your own Facebook community group for your local community. It will benefit you. And you can even have other businesses promote inside of that. People will join the group. They'll ask questions. Another place, an area, if you can't promote, but people are asking a question, hey, do you know a good cleaning service? In mom groups, they ask this a lot. Questions around those. Those are groups you should just be in. And you can always have other friends join them, shout you out. If you can't, have a look at those, other people that work on your team are also able to say, hey, I work for this company, would love to help you out if you're still looking for this service. So that's a great way to optimize over on Facebook, not so much in the hashtag space. And then for LinkedIn, you know, again, 5 to 10 is normally pretty good, sometimes less than that, depending on the post. And LinkedIn is a little bit different of an animal, but I would say for us as business owners, it may be in our best interest, especially if you're looking to work B2B and work with other local businesses with the decking or cleaning services, things like that, that you would be able to support those communities in.
I'm learning so much. I thought I already knew a lot about social media, but you know, it's like, it's a never ending learning experience. As far, you mentioned like it would benefit all of us in the home service space to have our own community groups, right, locally. In your opinion or in your advice, would it be best for a person to own that group or the business to own that group?
Good question. I always say the person, and the reason being is because sometimes they'll take the group away. Now, if it's a business.
Yeah, I heard about that the other day.
Yeah. That's like bylaws that they've, you know, some people get around it. Like my amazing client who runs a doggy daycare, she just has a login still for her business page and doesn't have to have a personal page. I don't know.
I don't know how she does that.
Right? Like that's against the bylaws or whatever. So, but they haven't done anything with it. And I'm actually the admin of the page. So I think that supports it. Like somebody still takes ownership, right, of the page. So the same thing can happen with the groups if you don't have a person, singular person own it.
Yeah. So I have one more question with the whole groups community. Because I've heard it before from other people about like, you know, you can really... it will help your business. And I've seen other, I have friends that have done it. You know, I always, and I have a couple Facebook groups for the softwares. I don't have one for my home service business. We have them for the softwares where we kind of give out free education. It's like a top of funnel. It helps you. You can give and then also promote your own business inside. But is it best to have it a private or public?
Yeah, another great question. I always do it as private because you kind of want to make sure that the people that are joining are legit, you know, and not spamming or like taking over the group, which we've all seen happen, unfortunately, on these beautiful platforms. So I just prefer that questions as well. Like a lot of our local groups will say, you know, what is the elementary school like in this town? You know, it's like you have to actually live here to join it. So you can have all of those types of security questions. And then, of course, you can approve them, right? So that's another time consumer as a business owner, which if you don't have a top of funnel, like you mentioned, this is worth your time because it will help you build business. But if you don't have somebody that can do that and maybe you don't have the time to do it, I would encourage like hiring someone like yourself internally and family that can support you, that knows a little bit more about these things. Or of course, you can hire someone like us as well, or even another agency that's local to you, and they can support you as well. This is something for our clients all the time. So I actually belong to all the local groups and we promote in them for our clients too.
Oh, okay. Nice. I like that. I know there was some, and I think they've gotten shut down now, like some bots or AI spammy things that could join Facebook groups and like comment. But I think... you know, everybody loves AI, but there's the other side of that, that they're going to catch people much faster and easier now doing not so great stuff.
Yeah,
in those
thank
groups.
Goodness. Right. Like, let's keep it positive. It's called social media, right? For positivity. That's what I believe in. So yeah, I feel the same way.
So as a business owner, you're a business owner, most all of our listeners are business owners. Where do you think that social media is going, right? So we hear the whole SEO is dead, right? Because of AI. And, you know, the traditional blog writers that, you know, writing blogs that we've had, and then you see certain things kind of come and go, and then now AI is here. And then like Facebook just hired, oh gosh, the young kid that started, you know, ChatGPT OpenAI. I don't know if you've seen that because they're going to do some crazy stuff, I guess, over in Facebook. But as a business owner, where do you really feel that we should be putting our time? Like, where do you see the future of social media going for our businesses?
Yeah, this is such a great question. I actually haven't gotten this one in a while. I believe in consumers and like clients, you know, that's why I'm on the platform. So I believe in that authenticity piece, which has really become a buzzword nowadays. Mm-hmm. But when I think about and how I service my clients as a service-based business myself, I genuinely care about my clients. You know, like some of them have become amazing friends of mine, right? And I'm sure a lot of our listeners feel the same way. It's like business is personal on a certain level, right? And the connections that you build and the love that you have for your community. I don't believe that piece is going anywhere. I actually think it will become the opposite, where like we at Meraki, we utilize AI where we think it's necessary. Assistance mm-hmm. with editing pieces, you know, to create efficiency. We ask it questions based around industries, but we still always go back to our client, right? They know their business best. They know their clients best, and they understand themselves and what they're looking for. If not, then maybe they're not ready to work with us on our agency side, you know? So that's the way I approach business as a whole, where we keep that personalized touch. Like we actually don't utilize bots to even manage our direct messages. I still have a personal team member that authentically does that for our clients, like manually going in. And I'll never remove that because I believe that people can feel that energy and it helps them. Now, some clients of mine, because they are so robust, and like a lot of our listeners may service a lot of people, may get a lot of DMs and it's overwhelming to answer. That's where something like auto reply is perfect, which you can set up directly through MetaSuite and that will get back to your clients right away. They can call a number, they can schedule a call through a link, yada, yada. But what benefits Meraki is that we've seen our clients create more actual sales, more actual income, real life connections on these platforms because we keep it humanized. And I believe that there will have to be a balance because people see right through the AI. You know, we can all feel it.
You know? Oh, I love AI, but I refuse to put it in certain places, like to answer my phones for any of our businesses. But and everybody's like, oh, I can answer your phone. I'm like, I'm the customer that would hang up on it like instantly because you can feel it. Or I jack around with the AI. I keep asking it the same question over and over and over to confuse it. But we use it every day in the business to help us become efficient, but not. So we're very much on the same page. I think one of the things that's going to differentiate companies very, very soon, and it, you were probably already seeing this, is just delivering a really great service with great customer service. I don't even care. Maybe even not even the great service, but great customer service. You can talk to a person like they have a face. One of my biggest pet peeves is like researching a company and there's no face, like there's no one. I don't even know who they are or where they're located. And I think this is going to be one of the biggest differentiators is not using it customer facing so that you can still have that connection and deliver great service, customer service, but training our staff how to use it internally for efficiency, but not to dehumanize our service.
Yes. Like you said it perfectly, I completely agree. And there is that fine line, you know, where now my team is trained in AI, luckily. So they use it again in the perfect amount. And then like when they have questions, they just come to me because I'm the face. Like you said, it's this, it's almost like this trust, right? That's been lacking, unfortunately, in the social media world for a long time already. And AI may just start to exasperate that antitrust right over time.
100%. So many people don't like social media that much or trust it. And then you add AI in it and they don't understand it at all. So therefore they don't trust it. But I think once you understand it, it's so powerful. But you said something and I want to ask you just your personal opinion on this. I get a lot of pushback from lots of business owners, tech owners, home service owners, SaaS companies, what is your opinion about like having a face to your brand?
Such a good question. In my experience, if a CEO is not willing to put their face on the social media, almost always the content will fail overall. You know, it will never reach them. I shouldn't say fail, but it'll never reach the full potential that they could be reaching if they would allow a face to become a part of their content. You know, we see a lot of things like faceless accounts. In my mind, that's a beautiful way of creating a community, but how much does that community actually know you, right? How much do they actually feel that connection to you? Would they buy or purchase a product? Like, I think this facade online does not support actual business owners like you and I that are genuinely creating income off of social media. It's not like, oh, I had a 10K month, but then the next month I lost 10K. You know, that's the facade of social media. That's what I've been trying to break down, honestly, since it really started in 2019, because I just don't believe in it. And I believe that people should know exactly who they're working with, especially in marketing, because a lot of people in my industry especially are very jaded by social media managers.
our industry has the same thing with marketing agencies.
Yeah.
There are some good ones, but the majority, not the majority, it's just that there are good ones, but the bad ones give everyone a bad rap.
Right. Yeah.
And I am the face to all of our brands, the home service company, the two softwares. And, you know, I at first was trying to build each, like the business's brand, and it was very slow and it was hard.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. And I had a mentor and, you know, we were in a group and somebody asked the question, you know, should I build my business brand or myself first, right? And it was so interesting, like his take on it. He's like, if you're an entrepreneur and you're in this for the long haul, he's like, I would build my personal brand. because then I can sell through that brand and I automatically have that trust already. They already follow me. They know who I am. Any other business I spin up or endorse already has that trust. It's a transfer of trust. And so when I started to work on my personal brands, and it was so weird for our marketing companies to make the shift to say, hey, we're actually going to only post to the business accounts a couple times a week, when we were doing it like 7 times a week, once a day, and actually put the efforts over to kind of build up that face, that brand, we actually saw a lot of momentum. And it was weird because we were like, but we're only posting to the business page like once or twice a week. And we saw a lot of that momentum because I automatically, people saw a name and it was like, they trusted it. They followed me. Like they, and we just started that in like maybe the last year and a half.
Thanks. Yeah.
And perfect. Seen that momentum grow. But I get frustrated because a lot of business owners were like, well, I'm not good in front of the camera. Well, I don't want anyone to know who I am. Like they don't even put their own business as their place of employment. And, you know, my response typically is, what does your business really need right now from you? What do you want to do? What does your business really need? And in the software space, it's the same. A lot of founders are technical founders, which means like they're very techie, they're coders, they're not comfortable in front of people, but then they struggle because they can't grow it outside of the brand.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a bubble or in a box.
Right. Then that's exactly how I see it too. Like, there's actually a perfect example of what you shared. People really want to connect with people, you know, like there, we see the shift in consumerism, which I think is so smart of you to have leaned into this a year ago. I always say to my clients, like, if you don't trust yourself to be on camera, to like promote your business, doesn't that
or even talk about your business?
Right. Like, you know, and bless your hearts for the listeners that haven't created that level, right, of that higher self of you yet. You can get there. Like, this is just an identity piece. This is just a belief. It has nothing to do with your product and service, right? It's about you now catching up. And if you can't stand behind your brand, it's almost like going down with the ship, right? Like, this company is everything I've put my heart and soul into it. That's actually what Meraki means, is put your heart and soul into your work. This is quite literally an extension of me. I have created the separation, right? Where it's not my self-worth. It's just an amazing thing that I love to do. And it's a part of me, but it's not my whole self-worth. It's not my whole identity. But I do definitely identify as the CEO as Meraki Media Management. And I love this company and I love my team and I believe in what we do. And that's the trust piece that you've been able to endorse through your personal brand as an extension to all of your businesses, you know?
And it's funny because everybody's but Libby, I suck on camera. I'm not as good as you are. And I don't even consider myself good. But I'm like, you should go watch my first videos. They were horrible.
Been there.
Like, you have to start and you're going to suck when you start, but when you start, you get it over with. Like, you're like, okay, well that wasn't so bad. And it's okay to not be great or like critique it. And I would never rewatch any of my stuff. I would just do it and I would call it done. And it's good enough. Like,
exactly.
What would you say if someone's like, well, can I hire someone to be the face?
It's a great question. I think it depends on the business and it depends on the brand, you know, because if you want, okay, here's the flip side of it, right? It becomes a legal issue. Like, what if this person that you bring on to be the face of your brand does not represent the brand in the way that you envisioned it? Well, they're still their own person, right? So not all of those nuances can exactly be written into a contract. And then you're kind of controlling their personal life, right? Their personal decisions, the things that maybe they post on their personal Instagram or Facebook page. So then you're putting a lot of trust outside of you, you know? And if you decide to do that, great. Like for me, I always think about it like kids, right? Like maybe if I have a daughter one day, I would give the business to her if she wanted it. And I would allow her to eventually be the face of the brand. Cause by then I'm going to be like MIA if I haven't sold the company by then, you know, like, let's just be honest. We're all business owners here. So that's a different thing, right? Because you're able to nurture and develop your children and share with them, hey, this is what I've done. When I give you this company, maybe this isn't exactly what you do, but you're the face of the brand then. So you go with it, you know, like you kind of take that step back. But But if it's an outside entity, I would really start to question if you want to start to entrust somebody with your whole livelihood, all the things that you've worked for, you know, in that sense.
I mean, because, and it's not even that they would do anything bad on purpose, or it's just nowadays because of social media and the, like, how fast the world moves. You can't even talk about, like, and I don't talk about anything on my social media pages. And as far as, like, sex and religion and drugs and, you know, like, all that stuff. But, you know, you would just have to have somebody say something, and then they maybe didn't even mean for it to be inappropriate. And, you know, social media will take a person down, like, crucify them for a comment that maybe was taken out of context they didn't even mean. And so I agree with you. A lot of people ask me that question because they don't want to be the face. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what you want. It matters what the business needs. And I always advise against it, because I'm like, what if the person leaves? What if they don't want to do it anymore? And you have to change the whole face of the brand when that all that time and trust has been established, and then it's just kind of gone. So I love that topic. So, you know, before we've been on for a while, but before we wrap up, for all of our listeners, if you're in the service space, do you think, like, there's one platform that's the best, or should we kind of divide and conquer our efforts? Like, I heard you talk about Instagram, and I'm assuming Instagram is kind of like your sweet spot, but should we be focused on all of them or one of them?
It's a great question. You know, I believe in utilizing your educational knowledge as much as you can. You know, yeah. You may tweak pieces of content slightly, but I strongly believe that if you are going in and creating videos and imagery and captions, utilize it across the platforms. You know, you've already created it, go ahead and post it. Again, if you don't have the time, maybe you don't tweak it and you just post it on YouTube, you know, as is.
So that's what we do. I'm not going to lie. We focus on Facebook, because that's where most of our customer segment is. But we post it across the other platforms, but we don't tweak it right now because we're focused on growing it and making it for Facebook.
Yeah, I think that that's perfect. So, like, if you go all in, right, like, my platform that, as you mentioned, is Instagram. So I'm creating for Instagram 90% of the time. And then we cross post as well. Like, again, we might slightly tweak it, and you can get very nuanced with the tweaks. Like, for TikTok, you know, like, for some of my clients, we'll change to the viral audios, or, like, we'll post different stuff over there that's really authentic, you know, like that type of thing, like raw clips of, like, people just walking into the service part of our dealership and things like that, really telling the story behind the brand, right? So TikTok's a little bit more, like, super raw, unedited, as most of us know. Instagram, Facebook's going to be a little bit more polished, a little bit more nuanced. You know, it's kind of that older gender graphic, right, of, like, probably people that are established professionals and looking to outsource, right? Especially on Facebook. Same with Instagram now. I feel like it's kind of this generation that I'm in that's, like, professionals that want to buy things or, like, aspire for things, right? Pinterest, same type of idea. And then LinkedIn is more B2B. So that's kind of, like, a quick breakdown, you know, of, like, what all of the platforms are. But yeah, pick one, go all in on it. And then definitely cross post, because it's your educational knowledge, you know, you might as well use it.
Absolutely. Well, I learned a ton. I will tell you, we are heavy into social media, shifting away from more traditional things like print and, like, Google AdWords, and really leaning into social media more and more, not turning them completely off, but really, like, trying to leverage them, leverage those social media platforms. And we see a lot of return on it. So I love this topic. Caitlin, I want to thank you for being a guest, and we'll make sure that we put all of your information in our show notes, so any of our listeners can, one, follow you on social media, so we can see what you're working on and some of your luxury ads and promotions. But again, I want to thank you so much. Any last words before you sign off?
I don't think so. Thank you so much. This was so amazing. And to all of our listeners, please empower yourselves to be the face of your brand. It's worth it. You know, a lot of my journey did really need personal development to get to where I am. And I would say and encourage you all to find that within you. It's buried deep down in there, but there's a part of you that believes in your service enough, and you can be the face of this. You can do it. A lot of us don't want to do it either, but we do it anyway, as Libby mentioned. So thank you so much again.
You're welcome. And my last words for that topic, and, you know, we didn't talk about this, but as you were saying it, if you lean into being the personal face of your brand, you actually attract better fit customers.
Yes, you will, for sure.
You attract better fit customers, and most of all, better fit employees, guys. And we all know that recruiting can be hard. You know, I'm the owner of Woot Recruit, which we're a recruiting software, but you attract better fit customers and employees. And at the end of the day, that's our ultimate goal.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So well said. So good luck to all you listeners. If you need any help, DM me. I'm happy to chat through it too.
Awesome. Thank you guys. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built Woot Recruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.